A tune called Thrill. It's 28 minutes past 8 o'clock, and Gavin Steinhobel is in the house. Yeah. Nice to see you again, Gav.
Yeah, good to be in, Dave.
And we're going to be looking at a legal matter. Is there a problem with your headphones?
Maybe. There we go. Okay. Yeah, that's better.
It was because King was playing.
Yeah.
Can't.
Yeah. Dave, I didn't know anyone else sits in the seat when I'm not here.
Oh, man. You know, just keeping it warm for you, Gav.
Oh, there we go.
Today we're going to talk about the VAT increase and the court's judgment, which has been reserved in the matter. And I thought, just to preface it, we might take a look at a report that is carried in the Independent online today, which says the Western Cape High Court heard yesterday that the Constitution does not permit Parliament to delegate the power on decisions regarding tax to its executive. That was the basis. This was an argument advanced by the Democratic Alliance's legal representatives, Advocate Michael Bishop, during the urgent application by the DA and EFF to interdict the VAT increase from taking effect on May the 1st and to set aside the fiscal framework reportedly adopted by Parliament last month. And, yeah, listen, the power on tax cannot be delegated to the executive. This was Bishop's point. I don't know if that's...
Well, yeah, we have division of powers. We've got the executive and legislative branches of our government, and obviously the each has a function to fulfill. But it's all under the umbrella of Parliament. You know, the executive can't do anything that isn't mandated in some regulation, law, Act of Parliament that says I'm going to empower this official to do these things. Mm. Now, obviously, the proposal as to the rates of tax will come from the executive, but the budget itself has to be passed by Parliament, and so that's got to that's yet to happen. But the increase is scheduled to happen on the 1st of May. So it's what I think the Democratic Alliance are saying is you've put the cart before the horse. Go back to Parliament with this and then see if you can get it approved.
Well, so, interesting that the EFF is now claiming that their decision to support this temporary increase in VAT was based on what Action SA had said and that they had been misled. And therefore, that they have made...
Well, everybody at the time said, oh dear, here's somebody making a deal with the ANC. This is going to end fabulously. And it exactly as everybody predicted, except, of course, for Herman himself, that's happened, is that the ANC duped them. And I know that it's obvious to everybody watching that this is what happens. But I think, look, legally, as you say, the courts reserved the judgment. That means that the judge... or those presiding feel that it's not a clear-cut case either way and they can't come to any kind of quick decision, and they're really going to have to sit on this. I think they're returning on the 29th to give judgment, so they need to spend the next week basically reviewing the law, reviewing South Africa's history, South Africa's laws, like international laws, with countries that are equally sort of westernized. And so they'll come to a conclusion then. I think the outcome is significant in terms of the country and its finances and the finances of, but it's almost insignificant politically, because I think the ship has sailed in terms of what's happened here, and that is that some parties nailed their colours to one mast and the others other parties went against this, and the parties that went against the VAT increase have suffered a little bit of or have enjoyed a bit of wind in their sails. And that I saw the Institute of Race Relations have polled now for the first time ever that the DA is more popular than the ANC with South African citizens. And I think that's because South African citizens are finally starting to think of voting in their own material interests, not the ideological beliefs. And that is, well, we can't keep increasing taxes. We've had a stagnant economy for the last 14 years. That means that a whole lot of people that came into their adult life during those 14 years, there were no new places for them. And you can see that with our unemployment rate. We've gone from 2,500 people on grants to 2.5 million people on grants to 18 million people on grants. I think anybody with half a brain can see that our economy is not taking up the population of South Africa. I think anybody with half a brain recognizes our inflation rates are high, our exchange rate is bad, and that South Africans in general have taken a pounding. And when your solution to that is, well, let's relieve matters by making you pay another 0.5% VAT to the state every time you buy something, I think people are over it. People are seriously over it, and that's why you've seen this change in the polls. You've seen a drop-off on the ANC side and an increase on the DA side. I think another thing that's going to help the DA a lot is that, you know, Herman Mashaba's just turned out to be, I don't know what he's going through, some sort of life crisis, but if you see the anti-white racist vitriol that he's posting on X at the moment, it's just quite clear that he's just grasping at straws and probably trying to divert attention from this incredibly bad decision they made to vote for the VAT increase. So, you know, and I think a lot of those supporters, especially the white supporters in Action SA, are going to turn their back on that sort of nonsense, and quite rightly so. And I think, you know, the Action SA cannibalized a whole lot of DA voters, and now suddenly DA turns is bearing the moral standard, and I think a lot of those people are going to go back. In fact, it's very exciting times if the official opposition can be in the ascendancy, because their values are probably inherently more beneficial to our economy. At least you won't have this stupid international policy that we're following. At least you won't have crazy concepts like expropriation without compensation and trying to sneak that through the law books. Mm. But, you know, all these body blows that the ANC has dealt our economy in the last 24 months, you know, will be relieved. So you finally get the, I've been saying it for this year, I've been saying the winds of change are upon us. I can just feel the momentum going out of the ANC and coming into more sensible policies. I also think South African voters are we're conservative people, you know, we want things to work regardless of the color of your skin. We want our economy to flourish. I don't care who benefits from that, but everybody benefits if there are more jobs.
Well, this is true, and pretty much on par with what everyone else in the political arena that's commenting on these things is saying.
Yeah.
It would appear that it is common cause now that, well, South Africa is largely Judeo-Christian in terms of makeup.
Correct.
Conservative, absolutely, want the same things, looking for a better future.
Yeah, the idea that, you know, you can bootstrap yourself up by your own labor or ingenuity, and, you know, we need an economy that provides those opportunities.
Mm.
You know, I feel dreadful when I see the number of CVs I get, you know, at the end of every academic year, and the fact that, you know, we just can't take people up at the rates that that they're graduating, and we should be able to, and our economy should be a lot bigger.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't grow in 14 years, then surely you must look at yourself, you must look at your political leaders, and you must go, well, this is not working. Let's try anything else.
Now, you see, and people feel, I would imagine this is the case, powerless to act because, well, it's just beyond us. But when it comes down to local politics, you have a situation that we're looking at right now where tomorrow there's a meeting in the Umhlali Prep Hall where ratepayers and residents of the Greater Ballito area are invited to come together for the IDP budget presentation, the Imbizo, that the Guadaguza municipality is trying to float. And I was just looking at another report, this one from the Times Live, which it was prefaced by the shocking revelation that the municipality is spending 173,000 rand a month on extra security for the mayor.
Oh, wonderful.
173,000 rand on top of his official security team. Mm. This goes to the ProSecure team. They have four guys in the evening and four guys during the day looking after the mayor's interests at home in Kwabongo. 173,000 rand additional per month.
Wow.
And of course, this is, and the invoice has been leaked. We've seen it. It's there. It now has created a little bit of impetus, because it's one of the factors that is giving rise to, for example, the Democratic Alliance. Preview Makan has risen to the occasion, as indeed has the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association. You see, by focusing on specifics rather than on the issues, broad picture, which doesn't, now people are beginning to say, what? 107, but that's just a drop in the ocean compared to the millions that has been ferreted away. And now they're trying to...
I think it's to anybody who pays rates, and our rates are high. I mean, I know what I'm paying in rates every month, and I just, you know, anyone who pays the rates that we pay here will agree with you that nothing, we get nothing back. I mean, it takes a whole lot of complaining for the potholes to be done, for sections of the road to be upgraded, all of which we've paid for.
Well, now there's an opportunity
for the traffic lights just all to work whenever it rains. You know?
I love the Dolphin Coast Resident Ratepayers Association being quoted in this report, saying that they're absolutely disgusted to learn of the amount being spent to secure the mayor's residence in Nkobongo. Carries on. This is an abomination and an insult to the community at a time when residents are plagued by electricity outages and water issues. We are constantly told that the budget for better service delivery and capital projects is not available. Yet hundreds of thousands of rand are being wasted on one single man. And now, you see, now we've got an enemy.
Here we go.
We'll focus on it. So of course, it's going to, you know, further, you know, our community's had enough. We're calling upon all Dolphin Coast residents to turn up on Thursday evening, tomorrow night, at Umhlali School for the IDP Mbizo to make our voices heard and to stand together in solidarity against this abuse of power. Now, I mean, there's a lot of rhetoric there. Eh?
Yeah. Somebody sat next to their thesaurus last night.
Well, was the DOCRA statement as quoted in the Times Live report. I can't verify, but I'm just reading verbatim.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I've seen that kind of very strong directive, exhortation coming from the Ratepayers Association.
I think you end up treading water as a voter and a concerned citizen in times when one party is so seriously in the ascendancy that you think things can never change and that you can't make change. But, you know, with the demise of the ANC and its rapid fall from 70 to 30 in the polls now, just everybody's starting to feel that change is coming. And I think everybody wants to be part of it, you know. And I know that if we ignore the negative stereotypes, the race baiters like Malema and Mashaba and so forth, and we think about South Africa and we think of it as South Africans and we think about our fellow South Africans as fellow South Africans and not people that we need despise, then if we follow that positive road, I think our economy is massively underperforming. And that is in itself an opportunity, because if you're massively underperforming, then it's very easy to get growth of 5%.
Yeah.
You know, and growth of 5% has a massive impact on unemployment and people who need to receive grants. You know, I think anybody would rather have a job than a grant. At least a job can take you further. A grant is limited from day one. And secondly, anytime you're not working, you're just falling behind the labor force because everybody else is learning new skills and new ways of operating. So, you know, I think we got to head in that direction, and we got to move away from, and we should shout down politicians who carrying on with their vitriol and their divisiveness, because, you know, they're only doing that to sound relevant and to sound to their constituents as if they're fighting some major ideological and race war in this country, when that was over in 94, you know. Mm-hmm. And how about starting to wage an economic war? You know, how about saying, like, let's grow, let's give businesses all the chances we can give them to grow. Let's try and make this attractive to foreign people. And they go, my goodness, look at your exchange rate for a euro or a dollar or a pound. I can get an enormous amount of value. Your currency is definitely at the moment undervalued. So if I come in at this stage and I invest, when I leave, your currency should have strengthened. So I'm going to gain on that as well. So these are all opportunities that somebody who wasn't stuck in the 1990s ideology would be able to see.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens at tomorrow's Imbizo. I wonder who's going to turn up for that from the council's perspective.
I know that I know there's been antipathy and sort of malaise amongst people generally, you know, and so these things are seldom well attended. But I think when people get a sniff of change on the breeze, then it invigorates them.
I think it's going to be well attended from the community's perspective. Mm. But I'm questioning who's going to come from the municipality because when we invited the mayor,
I can tell you they will be late.
You know, they got a whiff of the fact we invited the mayor and the electrical department to come in and chat when things started, and they were confirmed to come. And then they got a whisper that people might gather outside the studio, and then they said suddenly they couldn't make it. So I'm wondering whether this is going to be cancelled because, well, you know, it's going to take, I suppose, quite a bold person to stand up and face the music. But I think it's about time.
I think the free pass is over. It's 30 years over now, and I think even you can see the attitudes of sort of foreign countries that are going like, you know, guys, you've had 30 years now. It's not funny anymore. You need to start taking accountability for what you've done with the economy, and so you know that accountability is coming, and we're going to have it internationally. We're going to have it locally. People are going to say, "What have you done with all the taxes that you collected for the last 30 years, other than enrich yourself?"
Well, look, you know, I think it's going to be the show of the year in Ballito tomorrow. It's going to be standing room only. Probably no tickets available. You can be a scalper, you know, and sell some tickets. cool to watch as well. Maybe televise it, get it onto or social media or whatever. But if you're at all concerned about what's going on, it's a good idea that you pop along to the meeting tomorrow, the Imbizo. It's a big hall. It'll hold probably 1,000 people or more. And it should be fun. Are you going to be there, Gavin?
I probably will, I can't think that I'm doing anything tomorrow in particular. So what time? 7?
6 o'clock.
Six o'clock. Okay.
So I think King and I'll roll along there as well. Well, mind you, I'm not sure, because wherever he goes, he's mobbed these days. They walk past the studio, and then I feel kind of embarrassed that I don't get the same. So we can't stand together. But yeah, this should be a good show tomorrow. That kind of wraps up today's edition of the Hard Talk with Gavin Steinhobel, but we'll catch up in a week's time for
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, there's a lot of news going to happen between now and then.
It's amazing what happens on a week-to-week basis.
I know, you can't keep up.
It's exciting times, and that's from a media perspective, that's grist to the mill. We love it. Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc. If you need a good man in your corner when it comes to legal matters, particularly property, you'll find him down in the Ballito Village under the label Kloppers Inc. Gavin, until next week.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
And the morning show continues.